I said I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer.
My administration will be focused on three very important words. Jobs, jobs, jobs.
This man must be a minister, a social worker, a diplomat, a tough guy, and a gentleman. And of course he'll have to be a genius because he'll have to feed a family on a policeman's salary.
From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first. We, the citizens of America, are now joined in a great national effort to rebuild our country and restore its promise for all of our people. Because today, we are not merely transferring power from one administration to another, or from one party to another, but we are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the people.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with the Scott Adams Show.
And that's right. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to The Scott Adams Show. We are live. It is Friday, October 27th, 2017. We're so happy you can join us here on Red State Talk Radio. And there's so much to talk about. The JFK thing turned out to be a little bit of a nothing burger, but they're still going through that. Who's going through it? Who? The CIA. The FBI, they're redacting. The president releases the data to the public, and now the intelligence community wants to actually vet everything and go through everything. So we're going to find out some stuff, though. There was some implication that LBJ was involved a little bit. And there was definitely indications that Lee Harvey Oswald had direct connection with the KGB, and that our intelligence community should have had a watchful eye on that character, right? So, but I think that the media would rather cover the JFK assassination and the revelations associated with it. Rather than cover the stories of the day, which are probably, well, no, they're not worse. Of course not. That's not what I almost said it, but I didn't want to. It's not quite. The news of the day is dramatic as well. And Donald Trump tweeted out about the JFK thing. He said, JFK files are being carefully released. In the end, there will be great transparency, thank God, for a change. It is my hope to get just everything to the public. So there you go. And also, happy birthday to the great Lee Greenwood. You and your beautiful song have made such a difference. Make America great again. And that's something that Donald Trump also tweeted out just in the last half hour. You know, I want to talk a little bit about the Fusion GPS situation. We have a great guest at the bottom of the hour, Gail Trotter. We're going to be talking about Uranium One. But the Fusion GPS situation is really kind of interesting because Podesta, Hillary Clinton, and Debbie Wasserman Schultz, they all don't know anything. They all said that they found out about this dossier when it was printed in BuzzFeed. And John McCain said that he never gave it to BuzzFeed, but he did give it to James Comey, the corrupt James Comey, the 6'7" corrupt FBI director. So what the heck was John McCain doing giving with his hands on the dossier to begin with? It seems like the one person who seems to know more about this dossier before it went to BuzzFeed was John McCain. Huh. Interesting. I'm not saying he's the Republican client. I'm not saying that. I actually think that could be Jeb Bush. And the reason why I think it could be Jeb Bush is because Jeb had the most money by far. He had over $100 million in the coffers. And so he was, you know, super rich. He got all the establishment money. He was the one that everybody wanted. Another Bush, another Clinton, another Bush, another Clinton. When he's done, then Chelsea gets her turn. And the country just gets itself run by like a biarchy, if you want to call it. Not a monarchy, but a bonarchy. Biarchy. And I say malarkey to that. You know, the thing is that, you know how the Clintons and the Bushes seem to be getting along so well? And that the Bushes really hated Donald Trump? You know, it just seems to me like Jeb Bush would get his fingers dirty and all that and make that mistake. And, you know, but here's the thing. They did the same thing with Harvey Weinstein. I was shocked and I was appalled that Harvey was leading this double life. And I say, you can't have it both ways. You can't be dumb as a rock and claim you can run a country, right? I mean, if these people think they're so smart and they want to talk about, you know, how out to lunch or how crazy or how dumb Donald Trump is, or what a racist he is. Well, I mean, if you call somebody a racist, you're basically calling them stupid, aren't you? I mean, because that's a dumb concept, right? Very dumb concept. But they claim to have all this wisdom and all this insight and all this knowledge about things. But then when it comes to reading people like Harvey Weinstein, I had no idea. We took his money. We partied with him. We had all kinds of good times, spoke great things, sent Melania as an intern over to Harvey Weinstein's corporation. We didn't know. They knew. Trump, though, his answer to that was, I know Harvey Weinstein, and I'm not surprised. Was not a big deal. Was not a big deal at all for him to just speak the truth. But I just got a news flash up and was going to tell you about something after the break. We're up against a break. You're listening to the Scott Adams Show live on Red State Talk Radio. We're so happy you could join us this Friday. And we have a very special guest. We have a very special guest with Gail Trotter coming on at the bottom of the hour. And we'll get to that and more after the break. You're listening to the Scott Adams Show. Don't go away.
Did you know that the average yearly repair bill for a car 5 years or older is more than $1,200? Having repair coverage for your car just makes sense, but the trick is not to overpay for it. With Toco Warranty, you can get a highly rated vehicle protection plan usually for less than a tank of gas per month. And now, we're offering a zero down payment program. To get a great car vehicle protection plan at a super low price, call Toco Warranty at 1-800-987-1519. That's 1-800-987-1519. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, this is Leonora Cravota from Red State Talk Radio for MyPillow. I used to have trouble sleeping. MyPillow changed all that. I now fall asleep within moments of my head touching my pillow. That's how comfortable MyPillow is with its patented interlocking fill. MyPillow stays cool and does not go flat. Plus, it's machine washable and dryable. MyPillow has a 10-year warranty and a 60-day comfort guarantee. MyPillow is also the official pillow of the National Sleep Foundation, and it's made right here in the USA. MyPillow is now offering Red State Talk Radio listeners a 4-pack special with 2 premium standard or queen pillows and 2 go-anywhere pillows. That's 4 pillows for the price of 1. To take advantage of this special offer, call 1-800-961-9194 and ask for promo code REDSTATE. That's 1-800-961-9194, promo code REDSTATE. Put sleepless nights behind you with MyPillow, the most comfortable pillow you will ever own.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Red State Talk Radio is now available as a voice command on your Amazon Echo and Echo Dot by simply saying, Alexa, play Red State Talk Radio.
Red State Talk Radio on TuneIn.
Turn to every single American. Now, we've been hearing all these stories about sanctuary cities that...
You can now find us on the Amazon Echo and Echo Dot, on TuneIn, on iHeartRadio, and we also have the phone apps in the App Store for your particular phone. And just in case we activated your Echo Dot, Alexa, stop.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with the Scott Adams Show.
And we're back. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to the Scott Adams Show. We are live on Red State Talk Radio. It is Friday, October 27th, 2017. It's football night. High school football night, right? Well, we have a couple of things. You know, it's official. It's official that there was a smidget of corruption after all. Officially, there was a smidget of corruption after all for the Obama regime. Because remember when Barack Obama said to Bill O'Reilly, he said, it was a Super Bowl interview, he said, not a smidgen of corruption. That's because he was in charge of the IRS. He was in charge of the DOJ. He and Eric Holder, you know, were drinking buddies. You know, they were best BFFs, right? And then Loretta Lynch was pretty much, you know, a mold of Eric Holder. They made sure of that. You know, they couldn't get anyone with integrity into the DOJ or they would have been busted wide open. So, of course, it had to be corrupt. And who did the DOJ had their puppet with James Comey? And the corrupt FBI, who seems to be as corrupt today as they were back in the JFK assassination time. Because the intelligence community back then and the intelligence community, not much different. They're going to end up with egg on their face. And that's what they're so concerned about. We do have a call that's wants to call in about the fires in California. We can take that call really quick, but we have an agenda going on here today. Caller, you're on the air.
So, yeah, I'm wondering about these fires in California. I'm hearing reports that there's an illegal immigrant in custody that's been deported twice. Who's the person who started these fires? Do you know anything about that?
I don't, and you know what? I am going to be doing a live show over the weekend, but I'm going to bring that up on the next show, and because I have to actually do more research on that. But there's a lot of mystery around the fires out in California, just in the way that just there seems to be a lot of evidence of foul play, and some weird things going on, like microwaves and some really weird things. I've seen tests where the temperatures in the sun would go up to 170 degrees, and yet in the shade it would be 80. It was like a real weird thing going on. So I'm not sure what to make of the fires out in California. But where are you from in Cali?
I'm calling from Salt Lake City, Utah.
Okay.
You know, I've been hearing bits and pieces, different people speculating that, you know, they have somebody in custody, and I mean, this guy's, if this is the case, and this guy's been deported twice, You know, I think Jerry Brown, the governor of California, should be held liable for all these fires, you know, for his policies on illegal immigration in his state, and be culpable for all the resources and the expenses that it took to get those fires out. I mean, we had firefighters from all the different states come around and go to California. Right. And his irresponsible actions, if this is the case, he needs to be held liable.
I couldn't agree with you more. By the way, one of the things I wanted to talk about today that I want to get out there to the people is that Laura Loomer, who we've had on the show, she said this, an MGM employee, now this is switching gears a little bit, but kind of in the same vein, about illegals. An MGM employee tells me that MGM Resorts International bust illegal aliens and minorities to polls, told them to vote for Hillary Clinton, hashtag voter fraud. One thing I forgot, as she said here, one thing I forgot in there with the buses, I was amazed how many thousands of maids and other workers were shuttled around at election time from all properties, all told to vote for Hillary. I believe that easily swung the state of Nevada to the Dem side versus having Trump win it. And who knows how many duplicate votes and illegal votes got counted. Well, of course, that's Harry Reid country out there. You know, here's the problem. The sanctuary states, the sanctuary cities have to go. This is just incredibly troubling, especially when, you know, it's entirely possible that Jesus Campos, for example, had a worker visa, not a citizen. And you wonder, you know, why it is that he was driving 700 miles back and forth to Mexico directly after this investigation and after he just got shot. Well, he ended up, it's shrapnel. It's not a full-fledged shot, but there's so much mystery going on out there, you know, with the hard drive missing and all this other stuff in Las Vegas. You just have to wonder. And the same kind of stuff is happening in California. And that's why it was so important. You know, on our Twitter feed, there's this meme, and it is kind of true. There's a meme of Donald Trump, and it says, "They told me I could be anything I wanted, so I became the savior of Western civilization." But that's not far off the mark. Because, you know, in Texas, there was Justice Hannon, and Justice Hannon basically put a stay on granting amnesty to 15 million illegals, which would have converted immediately to voting for Hillary, like they were told, right? So all these people that were illegals would vote for the Democrat that would have then continued that executive order in the next administration, which would have been Hillary. With the right, you know, especially without a Neil Gorsuch on the bench, right? So we were very close to losing our republic as we know it. We would have become a one-party system, and the Republican plank, we wouldn't have one. It would all be socialist. It would be very European style. Any final thoughts?
Well, you know, I think these illegals come over the border here, you know, and this is my opinion, and, you know, everyone says, oh, they're hard workers. Oh, they won't do the jobs Americans want to do. They're looking for a better life. The bottom line is they come here and they get the American dollar and they go back there and live like kings. It's the manipulation of the money between countries.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of lost taxes as well, sending the money back over to Mexico. And it helps their economy because it stimulates their economy, but it does nothing for ours, really. And frankly,
no, it burns our social system that we have in place. It burns our school systems. You know, we've got it, and oh God, the list goes on. But I would like to. What time is your show on Saturday?
It's I'm always live 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to 9 a.m. And then, you know, the show is available on podcast.
I'd like to find out some research on this, these fires. What was there, 50 people killed in the fires, roughly? And how many billions of dollars in damage?
You know who's covering this story very well is Paul Preston. He follows my show. Paul Preston on Agenda 20 What Radio kills this.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what Larry Freese had said. I must have misheard him. I thought it was your show.
Yeah. Yeah, so...
Okay. I'll call in after and find out. Because it's kind of curious about it.
All right. Thank you for calling in. Bye-bye now. And that's a caller from Utah wanting to talk about the fires. Hillary goes from crutches to walking. Okay, that's a headline. That's a very interesting thing. I guess she took a fall not too long ago. Here's one thing I wanted to talk about. What's going on in Vegas is pretty amazing. Oh, but before the call, we were talking about the IRS. And the Department of Justice just lost a case, a civil case, which makes it official that the IRS was targeting Tea Party conservative groups. Okay, so that's the kicker right there. That indicates that there was corruption with the IRS. So whatever Barack Obama told us, that there wasn't a smidgen of corruption, was a lie. Just like when Susan Rice said that Bo Bergdahl served with honor and distinction, that was far from the truth. That was a lie because Bo Bergdahl admitted that he left his post. So you can't have it both ways. We're picking up the pieces from the most corrupt government our country has ever seen. And this is a big problem. We're also picking up the pieces to the Iran nuclear deal. We're also picking up the pieces to this North Korea crisis that we're dealing with. The mess that was left behind in the Middle East and in Northern Africa. Donald Trump has his hands full, and all the media wants to talk about is Russian collusion. And now all of a sudden it's blowing up in their face and they don't even know what to do. I tuned into Rachel Maddow and she was lambasting Donald Trump for something. I mean, it's incredible. Just cover the news. I went to MSNBC's website yesterday, and not once did I see an article written about Uranium One. They don't want to talk about it. You know, the question I have, and maybe it'll get answered, is how in the world do you deny the fact that the Clinton Foundation received $145 billion? You know, there's a tweet over on the Red State website. It says, corruption. This is by Judicial Watch. Hillary Clinton's State Department approved 215 Bill Clinton speeches in Russia and elsewhere worth $48 million. That's by Judicial Watch. They got the documents. $48 million in speeches? Tell me that's not pay to play. Tell me that's not pay to play. Well, we have a great show lined up for you today. Gail Trotter's with us, going to be with us at the bottom of the hour. You're listening to The Scott Adams Show live on Red State Talk Radio, and we'll see you after the break.
If you've got joint pain, let me ask you a question. Would you like a high-quality knee, back, shoulder, or ankle brace at little or no cost? But just in case your reception isn't great, let me ask you again. Would you like a pain-relieving knee, back, shoulder, or ankle brace at little or no cost? Well, if you have Medicare insurance, you could qualify for these pain-relieving braces at little or no cost. And these are high-quality braces. They are very comfortable, and they've helped thousands relieve their pain. Now, I'd like you to imagine going on vacation, playing with your grandkids, just living your life again without pain. The Mobility Hotline is a referral service that connects folks with Medicare coverage and other insurance to accredited companies offering pain-relieving braces at little or no cost. And don't you worry about the Medicare paperwork. They'll handle it all for you, and they'll deliver your braces for free. Call the Mobility Hotline now. The call's free. 1-800-557-6150. 1-800-557-6150. 1-800-557-6150.
Do you use the expensive blue or yellow pills to charge your sex life? Are you thinking about it? What if we can promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pills deliver the exact same results for less than $3. you'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. And right now, radio callers will get 44 blue or yellow pills for $120 with free discreet shipping. You can save more than $700 off pharmacy prices. Charge your sex life now and save a ton of money. Call now and get your 44 pills and save over $700 and qualify for free shipping. Stop overpaying and call right now.
800-814-5188. 800-814-5188. 800-814-5188. That's 800-814-5188.
Hey, this is Leonora Cravota from Red State Talk Radio for MyPillow. I used to have trouble sleeping. MyPillow changed all that. I now fall asleep within moments of my head touching my pillow. That's how comfortable MyPillow is with its patented interlocking fill. MyPillow stays cool and does not go flat. Plus, it's machine washable and dryable. MyPillow has a 10-year warranty and a 60-day comfort guarantee. MyPillow is also the official pillow of the National Sleep Foundation, and it's made right here in the USA. MyPillow is now offering Red State Talk Radio listeners a 4-pack special with 2 premium standard or queen pillows and 2 go-anywhere pillows. That's 4 pillows for the price of 1. To take advantage of this special offer, call 1-800-961-9194 and ask for promo code REDSTATE. That's 1-800-961-9194, promo code REDSTATE. Put sleepless nights behind you with MyPillow, the most comfortable pillow you will ever own.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with the Scott Adams Show.
And we're back. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to the Scott Adams Show live on Red State Talk Radio. We're so happy to have Gail Trotter on the line. Gail, hello. Welcome to the Scott Adams Show.
Good morning, Scott. Hi, great to be with you.
Yeah, we want to let our listeners know you're a columnist, political analyst, and attorney who regularly appears on TV, such as Fox Channel, Fox Business News, The Hill. You write for the Daily Caller, Town Hall, and other well-known political websites. You were brought to national attention in 2013 for your defense of gun rights. And today I think we're going to have you on to talk about Uranium One. And that's a big...
Yes, that's right.
That's a big news story.
Yes, it sure is. And I'm an attorney by profession, and I watched the lawless Obama administration make a mockery of the rule of law in so many ways over the 8 years of the Obama administration. And we are seeing the fruits of that now. And I am so delighted and just have faith restored that with the Attorney General Jeff Sessions in charge at the Department of Justice, that we're going to see a return to the rule of law, and any cases like this Uranium One deal will be investigated with the proper type of process to make sure that everyone's constitutional rights are observed and that the truth of the matter is definitely investigated and talked about.
Yeah, I think that I think that's true. I also, you know, it concerns me a little bit as Joe Citizen. I'm not an attorney, but it does concern me a little bit that with the Uranium One deal and the CFIUS Council, that situation there involves a lot of players that are actually kind of like using the dossier as part of their indictment of Donald Trump and the Russian collusion there. So you have like Rod Rosenstein, you have even Robert Mueller, who was the FBI director at the time of the bribery and scandals that we're probably going to learn more about with the informant being with his non-disclosure agreement being relieved. So, you know, it does concern me that we have possibly the people guarding the hen house, you know, like the fox guarding the hen house, sort of. And then the other part, and I want to get your thoughts on this, when Mueller and his special counsel went into Paul Manafort's home and confiscated a lot of stuff. Is that stuff in good, in a safe place, or is that in jeopardy? What if it is that you have the people that were involved and friendly with the Hillary Clinton or the Clinton administration now having access to a lot of the evidence? Is there a chain?
Right, when you think about those actors who are involved in many of those decisions and have overlapped from one administration to the next administration, it's fascinating to look at what happened through all of that. It appears, and we don't know for sure, but it appears that the information that was contained in the dossier was part of the basis for allowing the investigation to be opened into the Trump campaign for possible Russian collusion, which, as I'm sure you remember, is why Attorney General recused himself from the Russian investigation, because he had been part of the Trump campaign. So all of these things are layered on top of each other, and D.C., as it's colloquially known as the swamp, many of the players who were around in different governmental positions when many of the underlying activities occurred are still here, maybe doing different roles, but they're still in charge of very important parts of the government. As you know, Investigator Mueller was in charge of the FBI during the Obama administration.
He was also in charge of the IRS scandal as well.
Right.
And I remember an exchange he had on Capitol Hill with Jeff Jordan where he didn't even know who the lead investigator was, so I'm not sure how qualified he is in that respect.
Right,
but,
and that should be shut down. His investigation should be shut down. It is. If you're really interested in this, I would recommend to you going to Andrew McCarthy's writings on National Review Online. He has written very well, very cogent, very informative pieces about this for National Review Online. He's the former prosecutor of the blind sheikh, who was the mastermind of the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. And he has shown repeatedly why this investigation should be shut down as a fishing expedition. The predicate language of why the investigation was started in the first place, it's supposed to be very specific. It's supposed to have a specific target of the investigation, and that was not done in this case. And if you want to have a chance at having the career people at the Department of Justice, the career people at the FBI, then it's good that Attorney General Jeff Sessions is in there, because he wasn't part of any of this. And as we saw this week, he released the FBI whistleblower from a non-disclosure agreement so
right.
that he could go testify before the Congress members that we have in order to oversee our intelligence communities.
Unfortunately, that's going to be taking about several weeks, if not months, for those revelations to come to light, unfortunately. But we're going to have to wait. But a lot of people talk about Robert Mueller is being this great investigator, great man, lots of integrity. But if he has that integrity, then clearly there's a conflict of interest here, and that he should recuse himself from this investigation at this point. And frankly,
right,
I thought
he shouldn't have accepted it in the first place.
Exactly.
And the investigation, the way it was set up in the first place, was incorrect. So there are two reasons why he should not be doing this investigation.
Well,
right
then,
now.
Then, based on what you said, it seems like Rod Rosenstein probably made a poor judgment.
I would agree with that, yes.
Now, how we got to Rod Rosenstein, though, is because Jeff Sessions recused himself, but also one of the other problems is that just before Obama left office, he actually try to pull a fast one and change the secession order within the Department of Justice. Did you hear about that?
Right. And yes. And when you think about all the machinations that have gone on and the total disregard for process, and that is what makes the rule of law work in any society, is that you have a process and that people feel bound to follow the process. And if you're going to change the process, you have it go through the proper procedure where you have elected officials deciding whether or not to change the process. And we saw repeated violations of this during the Obama administration. And I would say that that commends Jeff Sessions to the rest of the country, because he didn't even want to have the appearance of impropriety. And when we contrast that with many of the other political actors in Washington, D.C., who not only have the appearance of impropriety, but they have actual conflicts of interest, and they stay continuing to be engaged. Just think about President Bill Clinton meeting on the tarmac in the airplane with Attorney General Loretta Lynch. And I don't want to say a cover-up, but there were documents that were requested about that meeting that were not turned over to a governmental watchdog. And when these documents were discovered, they're still trying to get access to documents about the meeting between Bill Clinton and Loretta Lynch. So that's not only just the appearance of impropriety, but you're talking about the spouse of someone who is under investigation, even though Attorney General Lynch told Jim Comey to refer to it as a matter, mimicking the Clinton. And you have Attorney General Lynch, who's in charge of, who's the chief law enforcement officer for the entire federal government. So I think we have to commend Attorney General Sessions for avoiding the appearance at all of impropriety. But certainly there are people in D.C. who are willing to take advantage of their conflicts of interest. And you know what? If we don't want two tiers of law, one that governs the powerful and one that governs the little people, then we're going to have to continue to push on this.
Yeah, and I think Sessions was recently asked in his last committee appearance about investigating the investigators, and he didn't deny or admit. But do you think that the FBI warrants an investigation of its own investigation?
It does get very complicated because you get so many investigations layered on top of other investigations mm-hmm. that the forest is lost for the trees. But I think in this case, certainly the people who are behind the overlying investigation, this supposedly independent investigation, that should be shut down. And we should make sure that the congressional committees, like you said, it's going to be a process. It's not something that's going to come out tomorrow or next week or maybe even in the next 3 months. But it's a process, and that process, we're not a banana republic, so that process needs to be respected. Needs to make sure that people's constitutional rights are respected. But certainly, when you have someone who's the spouse of a former president and who is a presidential candidate herself, you're going to have to really dig into the facts of the case because, you know, essentially showing that something is beyond a reasonable doubt might not be enough in the eyes of the public. It might have to be such a cut and dried case that it's beyond the shadow of a doubt, not as a legal standard, but just in the public perception of how far we want to take this. I think there's a lot of sense in Washington, D.C. that this is just politics. This happens all the time. Hillary Clinton should be given a pass for anything wrong that she or her campaign has done. But that certainly should not be the case, and that is not how we want our political system to operate, whether Republican or Democrat. That is not good for the integrity of the system. And when you ask about investigating the FBI, there are many questions, because when they were investigating Hillary Clinton and the hacking of the DNC email servers, the FBI did not obtain the physical evidence of the servers to do their own forensic investigation. They relied on a contracted outfit that had been hired by the DNC to do an analysis of who had hacked the DNC servers. And the outside company hired by the DNC alleged that it was the Russians who hacked the DNC server. But without the actual physical evidence in an independent investigation, then that's relying on someone else that the government should not be relying on. So the FBI has the power of the subpoena, and they should be using it on these types of investigations.
Well, you know, I think we're learning why it is, though, that the server did go off the grid. And, you know, frankly, you know, I just read this thing over from Judicial Watch where it said corruption. Hillary Clinton State Department approved 215 Bill Clinton speeches in Russia and elsewhere worth $48 million. Now, the Clintons have received a lot of money in chunks and pieces from different players and partners, all connected to Uranium One and elsewhere. But, you know, when you take a look at a bar chart of the Clinton Foundation's receipts, it spikes during her tenure as Secretary of State, and so does Bill Clinton's speaking fees. So, you know, that just seems to me like that's clear suspicion of wrongdoing right there that would warrant an investigation. And so there should be one, and there has been one, except for the fact that there's been hammers taken to phones, and there's been SIM cards being removed, and there's been deleted emails, and you just wonder what kind of Justice Department do we have? What kind of country do we want to be?
And on top of that, when the federal investigators were looking at those exact matters, many of the top players who were not at the very top of the organization were granted immunity. And any federal any prosecutor understands that you grant people immunity who are at the lower levels so that you can catch the big fish. And it appears in this circumstance that not only it wasn't just one person given immunity, but it was many people around Hillary Clinton and her campaign who were given immunity, including the contractor who serviced the secret homebrew server. And there was no follow through on that. That they were granted immunity, and then there was no prosecution. Now that does happen sometimes, but it is very rare, and it's very rare that you would give immunity to a whole swath of people, mm-hmm. and then end up deciding that there's nothing that was to be prosecuted.
Wow. Well, we're speaking with Gail Trotter, an attorney in the Washington D.C. proper, and also just a writer and a columnist, and you'll see her on TV speaking about issues just like this. Gail, thank you so much for spending some time on the Scott Adams Show.
Yes, great to be with you, Scott. Thank you for having me.
All right, you take care now. See you next time on the radio. Bye bye.
You too.
And that's Gail Trotter. Gail is one smart cookie. Trust me, she knows her stuff. And we really appreciate Gail spending some time with us to talk about Uranium One. We went through our break. We would have gotten cut off, and I didn't want to have Gail have to sit through commercials. So, you know, there's so much going on with this case. It's just incredible. The Uranium One deal is just the tip of the iceberg, but the Fusion GPS thing too. And I believe that there are so many other horrible, horrible crimes that we need to answer for, or we need answers for. And those answers are related to, say, the Seth Rich murder, right? You know, the DNC didn't want their servers to be investigated by the FBI, even though they're whining and complaining about this stuff. And the other part is that no one seems to know anything. Robbie Mook didn't know. Brian Fallon didn't know. You know, all these different leaders. Nobody knows. Nobody knew. But $9.2 million was spent. Over $9 million. You spend over $9 million and you don't know where that money's going. Now, Christopher Steele wasn't just any ordinary MI6. He was working the Russian desk. He did an investigation with his sources, and he was played by the Russians So the Russians, in fact, did infect our elections in part. Now, that being said, the BuzzFeed article came out after the election. But it was designed to actually hurt the American president. If that's not treason, I don't know what is. Somebody is guilty of trying to tear our country apart and take it down related to this manufactured story where Christopher Steele was played by his sources in Russia. And he put together this dossier of fake information that was perpetrated by Russia because they wanted leverage over our president. And they wanted leverage. They already had leverage over Hillary. Who do you think that Putin would have rather have had as president? Who do you think? Donald Trump, who actually sold a bunch of weapons to Poland and strengthened NATO and bombed the chemical weapons in Syria and actually is now threatening and more than likely will sanction the heck out of Iran and is going against North Korea like North Korea has never felt. And see, Russia historically is aligned with North Korea. They're aligned with Iran. They're aligned with Syria. And so Iran is aligned with Syria. And America and Donald Trump's administration is doing just about everything. Putting coal back to business and becoming more energy independent is not something that Russia wants to have happen. Vladimir Putin, you could just see it. He owned Hillary Clinton. That moment when Lavrov from Russia, the foreign minister, and they're pushing the reset button, he's laughing all the way to the bank. He's saying, wow, what a joker, when Hillary Clinton was there. She couldn't even get the word reset spelled correctly in Russia. How hard would that be? You work at the State Department, where you have people there that speak Russian. You can't get that right. You can't get that word right. But yet you can bring in $145 million is the estimate by Clinton Cash and others. And it didn't come in one lump check. It came in from different sources related to the Uranium One deal. This informant's going to tell us that the Clintons were directly involved. They have evidence to prove it. The question is, will this informant live long enough to tell his story? That is the question. We have too much corruption. JFK and the release of the documents is a reminder that our government has secrets that they are hiding from the American people. And it's the American people that actually own the documents. We own it because we, you know, these documents don't exist without our tax dollars. So we own those documents. The only person that has this right, this math right, is Donald Trump. When he says, we're giving it back to you, the people. Power to the people. How do we give power back to the people? Well, we stop taxing you to death. That's number one. We stop taking money out of one person's pocket and giving it to the other and dividing us as a nation. That's number two. We stop getting the government out of our lives by overregulating things. That's number three. And then he negotiates great deals that bring jobs back to our country. Everything I just said, the opposite was happening. The opposite happened. And the opposite was that you tax and regulate businesses overseas so that the middle class can no longer find meaningful work. And therefore, they can't have health insurance because they usually got their health insurance through their work. So that they grew doubly dependent, not only on Obamacare, but food stamps. And they made it easy. They rolled out the red carpet for food stamps. If they didn't do anything right, they did that right. They didn't do it right, but they did it right. They automated it. They made it all electronic. They state-of-the-art food stamp processes. You know, if they could only do that with the post office, we'd be better off. But they don't. Let's see. Larry Friest just texted me. He said Vladimir owned the mortgage on the Clinton compound in New York. Just kidding. Okay. Larry, stop it. Larry Friest has a great show right before the Scott Adams show in the mornings, weekday mornings. And we love Larry Friest's show. I pick up a couple of notes and steal them from Larry. He doesn't even know it. And he'll never know it. Don't ever, ever anybody tell that Larry I'm stealing some of his thoughts. Okay? Just our secret. Okay, so Trump just tweeted 4 minutes ago a tweet that I just read. Okay, Trump is tweeting stuff more than once. But Trump has been tweeting up a storm this morning. One of the things that I thought was a great thing is yesterday he was in the White House and he talked about the opioid crisis and he declared it a national emergency. That's something that no president's ever done. And that you would think is a liberal cause. This is Donald Trump saying that the drug addictions that are perpetrated by the big farm companies and overproducing painkillers and addictive drugs, he wants to make these he wants us to manufacture painkillers that are not addictive. And he went off script, as Donald Trump does, and the teleprompter was put on hold, and he told his story about his brother Fred, who I think most of us have heard, but his brother Fred died of alcoholism. And it was his older brother, and he looked up to his older brother, and that older brother died of alcoholism. And so this is personal with him. He's never drunk. He's never had a drink, and he's never smoked a cigarette. And it's because his brother Fred told him, don't do it. And he observes people who have these problems. He's sitting at the table, at a five-star table, at a diplomat's table, and he can pick up and see who has the problem and who doesn't. Some people, they can't just put that last drink down. And it's really important that we actually tackle this issue because, according to Donald Trump's statement yesterday, speech yesterday, wonderful speech, he said that we lose more lives through overdoses than we do with auto accidents and gun violence combined. I thought that was worth mentioning. I thought that was big. So, if you go over to the Red State Talk Radio Twitter page, you'll see a lot of interesting stuff. A lot of stuff. Here we got something that says, if you think that they're going to give you your country back without a fight, you're sadly mistaken. Every day is going to be a fight. Steve Bannon. That's what we're doing right here, right now, today. We're fighting. We're fighting every day. We're fighting with our social media. We're fighting with our words. We're fighting with our thoughts. We're fighting by writing our congressmen, calling them. It's very important that we get on top of this civil war that we're in between the liberals who want to tear our country down and apart and the conservatives that actually are standing for exactly what our Constitution had in mind: liberty, justice, and the pursuit of happiness, smaller government. We need our freedom back, and we need justice. Justice for all. You're listening to The Scott Adams Show. We've been live on Red State Talk Radio. We're so happy you could join us today, and we'll see you next time on the radio. I think we're going to be doing a live show tomorrow morning. As a matter of fact, I'm sure of it. So tomorrow morning, be there, be square. Saturday morning, live on Red State Talk Radio. The Scott Adams Show, 8 a.m. Eastern. Be there. And see you next time on the radio. Bye-bye now.
A long way from the suits in D.C., but close enough now to see this mess. Where I stand, the mound's getting steeper. They grab a shovel, dig a hole a little deeper, just to bury my kids right up to their necks.